9, verse 62, we read these words of Jesus. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. These words of Jesus sum up Paul's warning to the Galatians here. The Galatians had started off on the straight and narrow. They were headed in the right direction. But as the influence of false teachers, Judaizers, grew, they began to veer off course. To veer means to turn aside, to change direction, even to change direction suddenly. After the Galatians had put their hands to the plow, after they had received the gospel of Jesus Christ by faith alone, they were plowing straight. They were on the straight and narrow, and they were going on their pathway to glory. But then they veered off course. And Paul is writing this letter to the Galatians to get them back in the right lane. Get them back on the rails. He writes in verses 8 through 11 of this 11th chapter, of this 4th chapter, formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those that by nature are not God's. But now that you have come to know God, or rather to be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? You observe the days and months and seasons and years. Then he says something that's very telling here. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Paul is dealing with a very serious problem. The church has veered off course. He writes in the first chapter of Galatians, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. In Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Later in Galatians 5:7-10, you are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. Galatians 4:15, what then has become of the blessing you felt? I testify to you that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Have I then become your enemy by telling you the truth? They make much of you, but for no good purpose. They want to shut you out that you may make much of them. They veered off course. Do you ever veer off course? Are you veering off course now? You know, sometimes we veer off course and we don't even realize it. You know, you're driving on a turnpike and you're going 85 miles an hour. And you drift. And the next thing you know, the guy inside of you is blowing the horn. What did I do over there? Or you hear a rumble strip on the shoulder? That's never happened to you, but it happened to me once. We veer. We find ourselves way over there and we don't even know how we got there. I thought I was going down the right road. But yet, I'm way over here. I thought I was following Jesus Christ. But I find that my prayer life just isn't there anymore. Church is boring. I haven't picked up my Bible in months. I really don't have much enjoyment being with the body of Christ. I need to look for something else. I need happiness. I need fulfillment. And I'm not getting it out of my church. And I'm not getting it out of God. Maybe I will, I'm saved. Maybe I can do some other things. Maybe I can replace God with some other activities. Maybe I can go back to the elementary principles that I lived in and I was captive by before I got saved. Maybe I'll dial it back a little bit and extend my college years. Live like I did in college. Go back and hang out with some of the guys. Maybe I'll get involved in sports. Maybe that becomes my source of training, my source of fulfillment. A weekend warrior. It could be a number of things. Well, maybe I'll just pull out of church for a while. I'm tired of that gig. And I can still worship on the internet. I could still work or look at the guys on TV on Sunday night. And that's where I could get filled. These guys seem to be a lot more dynamic, charismatic. They make me feel good. What's wrong with feeling good? They make me happy. They give me hope that I can have my best life right now. And pretty soon, one Sunday goes by, two Sundays go by, a month, 2 months. You know, there are people that go on vacation to get away from it all, then never come back to church. They get out of the habit. And they find that sleep is the rest that they need rather than the rest in the Lord. And yet they can't understand why they're stressed out. You cannot have peace outside of Christ. Veering off. Very dangerous. Drifting off. The dangers of veering off course not only has a detrimental effect on the individual or the family that does it, it affects the entire congregation. And here we see, because a little leaven leavens the whole loaf. And pretty soon you have more and more people going down that road. And it's obvious from this passage that people who have veered off course have really had an effect on the apostle. I know a lot of pastors who are very discouraged because they think they've wasted years in the ministry. These people that they baptized, people that they nurtured, people that sat under their teaching for years, just left. And worse yet, will go someplace else and criticize. That preacher, he just doesn't do it for me anymore. That church, I need something fresh. I need a change. After all, I've been there 10 years. What's wrong with changing? Do you do that with your wife? Many do. A lot of pastors' wives, very discouraged. how they miss holidays and birthdays and so many special, you know, anniversaries. Give it all up. And then people just turn on them. Paul's dealing with, you know, I have laid down my life for these Galatians. And they left. I'm their enemy now because some people came in and hijacked the ministry. They came in and said, you know what, Paul's teaching is wrong. If you want to be a Christian, this grace alone doesn't cut it. You see, the Jews had it right. You have certain things you have to obey, certain things you have to do. It's not just believing in God's grace. It's not just believing that Jesus has done everything that needs to be done to save you. You have to do your part. Now, why is Paul so upset about this? Because when a person thinks they have to do their own part and add to what Christ has already done, what they're saying is that his sacrifice on the cross is not sufficient for you to be saved. That's serious. You have to complete his work. He did his part, but you have to do yours. You have to do this, this, and this. It's not Christ alone. It's not faith alone. It's faith plus. It's Christ plus. And Paul's saying that's a different gospel. What you're doing is denying the work of Christ on the cross. When he hung on the cross and said, "It is finished," it is finished. Nothing more needs to be added for sinners to be justified, for sinners to be right with God. But what the Judaizers are saying, yeah, he said it's finished from his standpoint, but it's not finished from yours. And you got to do more than just believe. You got to do other things. Paul scratching his head, did I teach them wrong? You see, when Paul, in his letter here, talks about the elementary principles of the world. We can back up to chapter 4, verse 3. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to elementary principles of the world. We see him use the same phrase in the 9th verse. And as Pastor Ben taught us last week, it's also over in Colossians 2. The elementary principles of the world. There's a lot that can be said about this, but it comes back down to those things that the world values. Those things that Satan, this is a spiritual aspect to this, the things that Satan uses to keep people in bondage. He says, you've been freed from that. You were so enslaved to sin. You cried out for mercy. You cried out for God to save you. And he did, by his grace. And now you want to go back to that? Why? What's your motivation? Why is it that you want to leave the new life in Christ and go back to that which enslaved you? And that's where we have to acknowledge the fact that the elementary principles of the world are the values, the things that Satan has put forth to control the world. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world. Trespasses and sins is what you lived in. It had you. Following the course of this world. Following the prince of the power of the air. the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived, in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's what the elementary principles are. Catering to the flesh. I just want to be happy. How do you want to be happy? Well, I'll cater to my sin. Lust of the flesh. The eyes. Boastful pride. Paul recognizes the fact that there's Christians who have been saved by grace who are going back to that lifestyle. Many people call that backsliding. It's not that they weren't paying attention and just veered off the lane. They suddenly changed course. And the reason for the change was the false gospel that they were hearing week in and week out. If you do this, then you're saved. You have to do your part. And it goes beyond just simply believing. That's what they were saying. When people are going through difficult times and they don't seem to hear their prayers or see their prayers being answered, when the Bible no longer, when God no longer speaks to them through the Bible, it's just, okay, I'll read this, but, you know, in one ear and out the other, and it really doesn't make any difference. I sit under the preaching, and I just hope he doesn't run long. All of those kind of things. When you're not doing well spiritually, when you're not doing well emotionally, if you're not doing well financially, after a while it's like, you know, maybe there's something more out there that I can get that will change things for me. That will bring the excitement back. That will bring the peace. People that are desperate will reach out. And they'll start changing their beliefs. You know, well, I prayed about this and God didn't answer my prayer. So I'm just going to call a whole lot of people up to pray for me. I'll pray. I know this Jewish person at work. I'll have him praying for me. I'll go up to the Catholic Church and have the nuns pray for me. There's this Buddhist that's moved in next door. I'll have everybody cover the spectrum. And if the more people I get, the more that are praying, that's what's going to do it for me. Who are you praying to? Who are you trusting in to deliver you? Buddha? Mary? And yet people will drift that way, thinking, well, you know, and the next thing you know, they are off the rails. They're down the embankment. They crash and burn. I've had it with Christianity. I prayed and prayed and prayed and God never answered a prayer. So why should I bother? I'll go along with the ways of the world. Eat, drink, and be merry. I'll have a great time. No, you won't. Because there is no life outside of Christ. You know, we live in a fantasy world and a delusion that we can have all that we want just by following the ways of the world. That's not real life. And when we're struck by some reality, we realize, you know, the world really can't deliver on its promises. This life I've been living with under Satan, most people don't even know that. That's just not working because, you know, I've been in the bar scene. Or, you know, I go through an ounce of weed a week. And you feel good for a couple of minutes. But, you know, you wake up the next morning. You have a one-night stand and it takes away whatever. But you find yourself lonelier the next day. The people that are into pornography, you should see some of the research coming out on that now. You do that long enough, you don't even want to be with somebody of the opposite sex. Your whole life is around that computer screen. Yeah, but it... what kind of life is that? And then you play games with yourself. Well, I was raised in the church. I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. But, you know, the church isn't doing it for me anymore. So I'm going back to these things. Really? There are people running into a lot of problems. And this is what Paul is so upset about. He understands how ministries are hijacked. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those by that nature are not gods. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, interesting how he subtly reminds people that salvation is initiated by God, not by us. That the knowledge of God does not come from higher degrees, but it comes from God when he opens our eyes and illuminates our minds and enables us to see the truth. But now that you have come to know God, or rather be known by God, how can you turn back again to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you want to be once more? So it's not that the Galatians didn't know the truth. They did. But they had veered off course. You know, when a farmer wants to plow a field, his first furrow has to be perfectly straight. So what he does is he looks down the field and he'll see a tree or a fence post. And that's where he fixes his attention on. And he just keeps on looking at that and plowing. And he gets a straight line. And then when he's coming back, he uses that first row as a guide to plow the next row. All right. He just follows that straight line. Turns around and he looks and there's that tree or that fence post and pretty soon he has the whole field plowed. And it's straight as an arrow. But there's a temptation that when you're plowing to look back to see, I'm straight. You might not be a farmer, but you cut your grass, don't you? Same principle. You make sure the wheels are in that area, that path that you just cut, right along. And you have to pay attention. If you're texting trying to mow your lawn, it's not going to be a very nice job. If you look back to see how great it is, the next thing you know, you're going to veer off. And then you overcompensate, so you cut back in. And then you have a mess. Jesus uses that to encourage people to keep looking at your destination. Keep looking at Christ. Keep on the straight and narrow. Don't veer off. If you lose your focus, stop and get it. Just don't keep on going. You know, somebody's driving along and they're in an area that they don't know. And they get off the wrong exit. They veer off thinking this is the right one. Instead of pulling over and stopping and asking directions to get them back on course. There are certain people who will not stop for directions. They'll figure it out. 2 hours later, they get back on course. Paul and Jesus stay focused on Christ. Stay focused on the cross. That's our fence post. That's our destination. Keep walking toward Him and turn off. No matter how many people are saying, hey, here's a shortcut. You want happiness? Here's how you get it. You want peace? Here's how you get it. You feel guilty? Here's how you can deaden that pain. Don't listen to them. Here's how you can get to heaven. Yesterday in the funeral service sermon, I spoke on how people get to heaven through Jesus Christ. And I mentioned that oftentimes people at funerals believe in the doctrine of justification by death alone. If you die, you're going to heaven. Everybody who dies is going to heaven. And when you say, not everybody who dies is going to heaven, some people are going to hell, you could see people, how could you say that? Well, that's what Jesus says. And then when you tell them that no one comes to the Father but through me, again, Jesus' words, John 14:6. People are saying, that's really exclusive. That's really narrow-minded. Now, nobody did that yesterday, but from other experiences that I've had, and you probably have as well, people think that everybody's going to heaven. And you know what? When you veer off into that doctrine, you veer away from an understanding of your sin nature and your need for forgiveness and your need for a Savior. So you will live and act any way you feel like it, thinking that I know that I'm going to heaven. Because my idea is that God is not going to send anybody to hell because He loves everybody. So I'm just going to live my way. If I want to punch a cop in the face and spit at him, fine. If I want to have an abortion, that's okay. If I want to steal money, why not? I'm still going to go to heaven. There's no judgment. God loves me. See what happens when you get off of the gospel? You see what happens when you veer off into a theology of the world? It leads to ruin. Paul, in his letter to Galatians, takes them all the way back time and time again, argument after argument, that, hey, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to believe in Jesus Christ, in grace alone, for your salvation. Plain and simple. And anybody that tells you that's wrong, they're wrong, and they're giving you a different gospel. You know, the Judaizers weren't trying to be a nice parachurch group to come alongside of Paul and say, we're going to enhance your ministry. We see some weaknesses here. They were coming to say, people, you need to be converted to the gospel that we're preaching. This is what's going to get you into heaven. You believe in Christ, but you also have to, sorry. Precious child. Let me get off track for if you. Today, the parent, the MVP award for the parent that was most animated when watching the children sing? Joe Chandler. Eyes wide, grin. Couldn't help it. Choir, you saw that, didn't you? It's like, look at that guy. He's really into it. All right, let me get back on board here. To close this message, Paul wants the Galatians to return to the gospel of grace. And that's the plea for today. Are you veering off course? Have you veered off course? And you say, how do I get back on? You get back on by refocusing your attention on the cross of Christ. Let Him be your vision. Be Thou my vision, O Lord. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ, the author and perfecter of faith, and He will straighten out your life as well as your rows. He will keep you going in the right direction. Don't turn away from Him. Come to Him. Cry out to Him, Lord, I need grace. I need to get right with You. I know who You are. I've walked with You, but Lord, I've got sidetracked as I've gone through life. Certain things have happened and has got me off course. Lord, I need to get back on. What do I do? Lord, help me. When you cry out for help from God, because He's a gracious God, He is going to answer your prayer. He'll get you back on course. I mean, He came to get us on course the first time with His death on the cross. He, through His Holy Spirit, will continue to correct us. He may have to discipline us if we're way off course. So you want to live like that? Go ahead, see what happens. And you go through a lot of suffering until you realize, you know, I created this problem for myself because I didn't want to follow the straight and narrow. Turn back to the cross. Turn back to Christ. And you'll get on track again so that you can keep on plowing. And as you keep on plowing, you'll see that the Holy Spirit will plant new seeds. He will water your seedlings. As you plow through the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit will bring new life to you and correct the course. And He will bring about a harvest of spiritual fruit in your life, both personally within you, the fruit of the Spirit, but also fruit in your labors. It's hard when you see an apostle struggle with wondering if all of the work he's done for the Lord was in vain. And yet we see that God would never quit on him. And even though he had his difficult times and ministry is hard, he kept on going because the Holy Spirit empowered him to keep on going. He who began a good work in you will complete it in the day of Christ. So if you have veered off course, turn your eyes to Jesus and ask Him with a prayer of faith for Him to get you on a straight and narrow. And He will. Let us pray. Father God,